I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. So good to worship with you and feel the hospitality. It's an exciting thing to walk into church and see people that actually like to see each other. Amen. You can feel it in the air. This isn't sour grapes or anything. This is just a reality. I would have told this when I was pastoring there, and I have told it many times. At the church where I pastored, we had doors over on this side, a set of doors where people would enter the sanctuary. And then we had a set of doors out here in the front where people would enter, and we had doors on this side where people would enter. The people that entered on this door usually sat in this section of seats. The people that entered these doors usually sat in this section of seats. The people that entered this door would sit in this section of seats. And then they'd get up and walk out the same door they came in. There were people that had gone to church together for who knows how long, 10, 15 years, didn't even know their name. We had Gas Sunday, Get Acquainted Sunday, just so people could get to meet each other. Isn't that amazing? Thank God for children of God that love the family of God. Amen. And hold each other dear to their hearts. Amen. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read in verse number 1. I just put a cough drop in my mouth. And every time I do that, I spit profusely. So you will have to no doubt clean this pulpit by the time I'm done and wash this mouthpiece. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping. Notice that. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach a few moments tonight on the topic, you have to get up. You have to get up. Have you ever known anyone that wanted something, but they wanted somebody to do it for them? They wanted to live good as long as somebody else paid for it. They wanted to have a lot of money as long as somebody else worked for it. Most folks know what they need or want. They're just not willing to do what it takes to get it. Amen? That's a fact. A friend of ours passed away now. His name is Joe Wyrick. Anytime one of the kids in the church would fall down, he would say, "Come here, I'll help you up." Of course, you can't take that to too many extremes, because there are some times when kids fall and they really hurt themselves and you have to help them up. But we all know what Hezekiah 23:5 says. Quote it with me. God helpeth those who helpeth themselves. First of all, there's no book of Hezekiah. I love having people turn to the book of Hezekiah. That is so much fun. There is no book of Hezekiah, and there is no verse, God helpeth those that helpeth themselves, King James or otherwise. God will help those who cannot help themselves. Amen. And God desires to help those who cannot help themselves. And I hope this doesn't sound too sacrilegious, but God can only do so much. What more can He do than to send His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish? What more could He do than to allow His Son to be crucified, to suffer and die? Thank you, sir. To go into a tomb and stay there for 3 days, walking into the bowels of the earth, through the gates of hell, taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave, resurrecting on the third day. What more can God do? Lord, if you had just, and God, if you had just, and Lord, we've got all these things lined up, things that we want God to do. We want the stars to line up. We want the moon to turn blue. We want the water to turn to blood. I mean, we've got it all planned out, what we want God to do, just to prove His miraculous power. And the whole time, this awesome God that we serve has already accomplished the miracle in you. He's just waiting on you to get up. Amen. He's just waiting on you to take that first bold step. First of all, I want us to take notice of this accessible gate. Of all the things that the Jews had wrong in this era, one thing they did have right was they had a place for the infirmed. Their temple was handicap accessible. They had a place where this guy could come, and he was welcomed. Amen. And not only that, but there was someone who brought him every day to the gate. There were people that were willing to endure the infirmed, if you will. People that were willing to get involved in their lives. Somebody saw that this man had a need. I don't know if it was a relative. Maybe it was a friend, maybe a neighbor, but somebody saw that he had a need and they were willing to carry him to the temple. Now, he could only go to the gate of the temple because the Jewish law forbade him to go inside the temple. So they took him as far as they could. And then they had to drop him off, and then they took themselves into the temple at the hour of prayer. And this man was left to fend for himself, asking for alms. This was a gate accessible to absolutely anybody that had a need. Nobody ran him off. Nobody passed a law that he couldn't be there. They welcomed him. And when he sat there with his cup stretched out, they would drop money. And they would help support this man who could not get a job of his own. We must never forget that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. When we get the infirmed and the smelly and the hurting folks to our churches, that's when we're going to be seeing people saved. Amen. And I know you're seeing that because you're doing that. The lame man was at the right place to ask for help. And not only that, but he had an expectation. He looked with an expectancy that he was going to receive something. This man's infirmity had kept him out of the holy place. It kept him out of being into that sacred place with God. And I don't know what kind of infirmity maybe you may be dealing with, or maybe in the past that you've dealt with, something that kept you from going in to the holy place. He had gone as far as anyone could take him. There are some places your pastor cannot take you. There are some places the worship leader cannot take you. I've commented several times that what an awesome calling it is for people who open up a service with worship, and they just create an atmosphere of worship, inviting the presence of the Lord and issuing everybody else into that secret place with God, into the holy place. But there are people that sit through our song services or stand through our song services, and they've gone as far as they can go. It doesn't penetrate their spirit. It doesn't move in their mind. It doesn't change them. It doesn't motivate them. They've gone as far as they can go. There is some kind of an infirmity that is keeping them from breaking into the holy place with God. Something is keeping them on the outside. The gate is accessible, but there have to be some changes take place if you want to get past the gate and into the holy place. Amen. All right, that's the accessible gate. Now let's look at some revolutionized disciples. These men had been timid about 60 days, 70 days earlier than this. You'll remember Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying for his life. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he told his disciples, would you not pray with me for an hour? Come on, wake up. You need to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. But instead of praying, they fell asleep. And when the soldiers came with their staves and with their lanterns to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of the disciples ran. They were scared. You remember Peter, he was warming his hands by the fire and listening to the noise that was coming from the Sanhedrin, and somebody recognized him and accused him of being a disciple of Christ, and he said, I don't even know him. But wait a minute, I saw you with Jesus. I tell you, woman, I don't know him. And one more time she accused him, and the Bible said that he swore that he did not know Jesus. This guy was timid about his faith. He was bold about a lot of other things. He was bold about cutting off people's ears and bold about all kinds of stuff. But he was timid about his faith. John. Oh, I know he was at the cross and Jesus said, take care of my mama. But long before, a few hours before he was telling him, take care of mama, John ran when all the rest of the disciples ran. These guys were timid, but they had some kind of an encounter between Gethsemane and this temple gate experience. There had been an encounter with God that turned their world upside down. Amen. Notice their faithfulness to prayer meeting. We called for a hayride. Nearly the whole church showed up. That's no exaggeration. Called for a prayer revival Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I think we had 20 on Monday night, 15 on Tuesday night, and maybe 10 on Wednesday night. And I may be exaggerating there on the high side. Notice their faithfulness to prayer meeting. Amen. Acts 2 and 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So we know they went daily to the temple. Acts 3 and 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. I think prayer is probably the most explained and least exercised subject in Christendom. The fact of the matter is prayer really does change things. And that's what changed Peter and John. It was when they had come together in the upper room in one mind and one accord, and they began to pray. They prayed for 10 days. They prayed until the power of God came down. And when the Spirit anointed them, then they went out into their world, just as Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come upon you, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, He will give you power to be witnesses unto me. Amen. So these guys have been radically changed from warming their hands in the fire and swearing that they didn't know the Lord, from running like scared cats in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here they see a guy who has not walked one day in his life. Not one day. There's not any hope that this guy is going to walk. There's no chance that he's going to walk. The doctors have given up on him. There's nothing they can do. And notice how bold they are. They walk right up to him. Look at us. That's how bold they became. You talk about a radical change. Well, listen, my friend, that's what happens when you come into the presence of the Lord. There is a radical change that begins to take place. Amen. Things that you used to couldn't do, you start doing. Amen. And stuff that you used to do, you wished you wouldn't. You find a way to stop. Amen. There's some radical changes that take place. They had more than this man could have ever expected, even though their pocketbooks were still empty. You know, there are a lot of folks that tell you, if you'll just serve God and if you'll sow a seed into my ministry, God's going to give you a BMW and God's going to give you a fancy house out by the lake. Listen, my friend, I've been sowing seed for the last 25 years and I still don't have my BMW. Or my house by the lake. Now, I almost had a lake the other day when we had almost 8 inches of rain. We have changed the gospel of Jesus Christ from meeting people's needs to meeting my needs. Or meeting my wants. Give me $1,000 and your boy will be saved. Give me $1,000 and your body will be healed. Hogwash. Jesus went to the cross to handle that. Amen. We've got it all wrong. We're acting like faith is so that I can dress nice and look good. Well, maybe I can dress nice, but I'll never look good. Hey, it is all about Jesus meeting people's needs. And that's what got into Peter and John. And so here's their boldness. They walk up to this man and they began to speak to him. Look at us. And he looking, expecting to receive. He wanting to receive alms. He didn't realize he was going to get legs. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he got up. All right, let's wait a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. There were some things that came before his healing came. In verse number 5, so he gave them his attention. Sometimes we come into the house of God so scatterbrained. We've got this and that on our mind. We watch to the last second our favorite TV show and then hit the record button so that we can catch up on it when we get home from church. Gone to meddling now. Well, you told me to tear y'all up. I'm not going to tear you up. We come so scatterbrained. You know why we have song service, Brother Stan? For the most part, we have song service for however long it lasts, 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes, just to get your mind off the job, off the TV show, off the fight you had on your way to church, to get your mind off of that, the fact you didn't have time to eat enough. Amen. Just try to get you programmed to the point that finally about the time the preacher gets to his third point, you're settling in for service. That's a fact. They used to come to church already worshiping, and when they walked in the doors, they were already dancing. Nowadays, I've threatened several times to put on a cheerleader suit and come with pom-pons and say, rah, 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 worship with me, would you please? We are so scattered and yet we know we have a need and we wonder why we come and we go the exact same way we came. This man turned his attention to these men. Amen. Gave them his attention. And then in 5B, he expected to receive something. This little girl came up here tonight wanting prayer and she wasn't satisfied with just, bless her Lord God, be healed in the name of Jesus. We receive it because of the promise of your word. All right now, we hope things are better. It still hurts. Amen? She came expecting. When we come with the anticipation that all I'm going to get is an oil drop on my forehead, and I'm going to get maybe a warm, goosebumpy feeling. I may even gyrate and jerk and pop and maybe even fall on the ground. But I don't know if I'm going to get my healing or not. Listen, my friend, we have lost our expectation that my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. I tell you, He is God the healer, Jehovah Rapha. He is God the provider, Jehovah Jireh. He is God our peace, Jehovah Shalom. He is our God, and He is able to meet our need. I say if we would come to the house of God and turn our focus upon Him and look to Him with an expectation that we might receive, we would receive much more than we have up to this point. Amen. The next thing that took place in verse number 7, Peter took him by the right hand. But it took more faith, in my opinion, Brother Penny, for the man on the ground to take Peter's hand than it did for Peter to take his hand. What's the guy on the ground thinking? You've never been up in your life. You know He can't pick you up with one hand. Have you ever tried to pick up anybody that was limp? Dead weight, you can't just do it with the right hand. You got to get around them, surround them with your body and your hands and grunt and groan. And Peter just stuck out his right hand. That's all I'm going to need, pal. Oh, come on, Peter. You got to be out of your mind. The people that carry me here every day, I've given them hernias. I mean, they have to tug and pull and tug. What makes you think that a right hand is going to get me off the ground? It took a lot of faith for this man not only to look at them, give them his attention, and to expect to receive, but then to put out his right hand and take hold of Peter's hand. Amen. And then Peter lifted him up. You have to try. And believe me, I've tried. I've tried to make people get healed. I've tried to make people be better. I've tried my best to make people that couldn't walk, walk. I've been there when we tried to get them out of the wheelchair. And I understand all that. We got to try. But there comes a point in everybody's experience that it's no longer the preacher. Listen, there are people that think they got healed just because they went to a Benny Hinn crusade. They think it was Benny Hinn that did it. Of all the people that's been healed at a Benny Hinn crusade, praise God. But it wasn't Benny that did it. Amen. Hallelujah. The work of the miracle had already been done by Jesus Christ when He went to the whipping post, and with 39 stripes on His back, He took care of every blood disease, every cell disease, every heart disease, every diabetes, every cancer, every kind of disease and problem and cold and flu and infection. With every stripe on His back, He already won our healing. The Bible said that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Oral Roberts says you need a point of contact. If you'll reach out and touch the television, Ernest Angel Lee said. And somebody else sent out a shower cap with a handprint on top. And if you'll put this on your head, you can be healed. I'm telling you, my friend, our point of contact, and I'm not bashing these people. What I'm telling you is you can chase preachers all over the country and you'll still be in the same condition that you was when you left the house in the first place. It's not the man of God that's going to get the job done. It's God that has already done the job. It's God that has already accomplished the work. I tell you, the miracle is already alive in you. And I'm not just talking about for healing here. I'm talking about for deliverance. I'm talking about for a life change. I'm talking about for a marriage being put back together. Finances being restored. I'm talking about every aspect of our spiritual experience. God has already done the work. It is an eternal work. And He did it in you so that you could experience it. In other words, it is my feeling, my belief, Brother Penny, that even before Peter took that man's hand, his ankles had already been healed. Now, how big of a miracle is that? How big is an ankle? Well, depending on mine or others. How big is an ankle? Oh, I got my ankle healed. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. No big deal. Sometimes it's the small things that keep us down. Those things that we may think are a little insignificant. His ankle. That's all it was. His ankle. It wasn't paralysis. It wasn't any kind of nerve damage. It was his ankle. And the Lord healed his ankle. But as long as the man was laying there in the same position that he was when he came there, he would have never known that he was healed. But by Peter stretching out his hand, and as an act of faith, that man reaching out and taking Peter's hand, Peter began to lift him. But the Bible said he, leaping up, stood. He made himself get up. I tell you, my friend, we can preach till we're blue in the face. We can pat you on the back and somebody's saying, hang on. Somebody else saying, let go. And we can give you all kinds of Kleenexes and try to stay with you after midnight and pray and pray and pray. But until you're ready to get up and make a change in your own life, there is nothing that God can do. There's nothing that we can do. You say, well, I don't like who I am. Well, then wouldn't you say it's time to change? Wouldn't you say if you don't like the way you are, and if God doesn't like the way you are, and if He knew that you were going to be that way, then surely He made a way for you to be healed, a way for you to be changed, a way for you to be delivered. Don't tell me, well, I'm just an addict. I've been an addict too. Don't tell me, well, it's just part of my genetic makeup. Oh, come on. There's something better than genetic makeup here. There's something deeper than addiction here. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is able to reach into every ideology, reach into every curse, break down every bondage, and loose the captive and let you go. Hallelujah. The anointing of the Holy Ghost will not only break the yoke, the Bible said that the anointing will destroy the yoke. Amen. I tell you, you can be loosed. You can be changed. But you have to get up. I want to be free from alcohol, but I still want to buy my milk at the liquor store. I know that's an exaggeration, but you get my point. Now, I know I need to be straight with my wife, but I like having dinner with her. Amen. Evil communications corrupts good manners. That is in the Bible. You have to get up. That's what really zeroed in on me with this guy. Was that he, leaping up, stood. And when he stood, he began to walk back and forth. He had never walked before in his life. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, those first steps you take, if you'll just leap up, I promise you, the first step you take, it wasn't long after he started walking that he started leaping. Amen. And he didn't just walk and leap. He looked at John and Peter. He said, hey, boys, it's fine being out here. But all these years I've been wanting to be in there. Would you please let me go to prayer meeting with you? And here he goes, hand in hand with Peter and John as they walk into the house of God. He comes into the house of God walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Amen. When's the last time you came into the house of God walking and leaping and praising the
the Lord. Oh, my friend, when he walked in, the Bible said the people that were in there knew who he was. They knew that he was the man that had been by the gate called Beautiful. His witness, his testimony, by way of his joy and his exuberant praise, testified to them, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not like I used to be. My life is different now. I've got a brand new touch. I've got a brand new walk. The Lord has moved in my life. He witnessed something's changed in me. I'm not the same. I wonder how many times he saw people walking into the holy place with their lip drooped and their shoulders sagging, shuffling their feet. And he thought to himself, if I could just walk into the house of God, I'd be a lot more excited than that. Amen. I'd be a lot more happy than that if I could just walk into the house of God. And the whole time, the miracle was already in him, just waiting for him to get up. Now, in the circumstances of life, some of us find ourselves down. And when we find ourselves down, the enemy will tell us, your problem's insignificant. Don't bother the church. Don't bother the preacher. Don't interrupt the service. You don't need prayer. You're just going to make a spectacle of yourself. There was a time in the Pentecostal church when if somebody was dealing with lust, they'd stand up, gripping the back of the pew in front of them with white knuckles, and say, I need prayer. I'm really battling. I really need a touch of God. Would you pray for me? And the church would gather around them and begin to pray. But now, well, it's just, you know, it's so insignificant. And it would be so embarrassing if anybody knew what I was going through. Listen, my friend, eventually we're going to know. Eventually everybody's going to know. You might as well go ahead and say, hey, I'm in need here. Here's my cup. Do you have anything for me? Well, I got a cough drop. And I got a few nickels and a couple dimes here. I don't think that's going to help. I don't have any silver and gold. I can't put you up in the finest hospital and hire the best doctors. And I can't do that. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. It's not by a preacher's touch. It's not by anointing oil. It's not by being blown on. It's not by water baptism. It's not by signing on the dotted line of a church membership. It is by the act of faith. I believe the Word of God. I believe what God's Word has told me. I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to get up. My life is never going to be the same. John R. Rice said, stop telling God how big your problem is. Start telling your problem how big your God is. Amen. Although we would take that leap of faith, get out of our condition and say, to the glory of God, I will not be the same. I will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You gotta get up. I want you to stand with me tonight if you would. The song said, when I think about Jesus.